the past. If you open up, then I can see deep in your heart what's in it for me. Past just disappear. If you're back for good, I want you to be. Just let me know what's in it for me. What's in it for me? I've got to ask. If it's only more tears, then I'll have to pass. If you what's in it for me?
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal, state, and local emergency crews, along with volunteer organizations responding to the massive needs in Florida following Hurricane Milton. Nearly 2.5 million customers remain without power, and at least 16 deaths stretch across the state. ABC's Jim Ryan is in Tampa.
As hurricanes go, Milton is unusual in that so many of the storm's fatalities, at least six, were caused by the tornadoes spun off by the storm. Near Fort Meade, a county employee clearing storm debris from a road was struck and killed. At least four other people were killed by falling trees after Milton had moved through.
On the campaign trail, Donald Trump holding a rally this afternoon in Aurora, Colorado, focusing on immigration. Vice President Kamala Harris in Arizona, where early voting began this week. Colorado authorities are investigating what caused an elevator at a tourist gold mine to fail yesterday, killing one person and trapping nearly two dozen others for hours, 1,000 feet below, until they were rescued. This is ABC News. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz exclusively on ABC's Good Morning America, speaking with Michael Strahan.
And when it comes to President Biden and the presidency, do you see anything that you would have done?
I was asked to be governor of this state when Donald Trump was president and when Joe Biden was there. And I watched Donald Trump dismiss the COVID pandemic. I watched him drive an economy into the ground. And I watched Joe Biden and Kamala Harris pick those pieces up. And I think for all of us, we make decisions, we reanalyze afterwards. I think the thing that drew me to this ticket, and I think what the vice president's talking about, is that her values on these hasn't changed.
Another sign inflation is starting to return to normal levels. The producer price index, which tracks wholesale price inflation before it hits consumers, did not increase from August to September and saw a year-to-year growth of only 1.8%. Ukrainian President Zelensky says he discussed peace in his meeting with Pope Francis at the Vatican today. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Fall Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from October 11th through the 21st. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or diabetes, you're at higher risk of being hospitalized from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. Projects across rural Wisconsin are getting some help courtesy of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Rural Development State Director Julie Lassa says the $93 million comes from the Inflation Reduction Act.
So it's great to be seeing this type of investment from legislation like that coming back to Wisconsin, to businesses and farm operations all around the state. It's really a substantial investment in our rural communities.
Largest investment includes $91.5 million going towards solar projects in Dane and La Crosse counties. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is proposing over $200,000 in fines for a Janesville business accused of repeated safety violations.
OSHA says Universal Recycling Technologies was cited in April of 2023 for exposing employees to unsafe levels of lead and cadmium while they dismantled tubes from older TVs. A follow-up inspection in April of 2024 found the company continuing to expose workers to unsafe levels of the toxic heavy metals. OSHA says overexposure to lead and cadmium can cause severe damage to blood-forming, nervous, urinary, and reproductive systems. Universal Recycling Technologies has 15 days to either comply, request an informal conference with OSHA's area director, or contest the findings before the Independent Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. Andrea Morrow, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Many office jobs are no longer going to be in an office. That's the assessment from UW-Madison business professor Yers Muras, who says work-from-home jobs will remain part of the economy long past the pandemic.
I think there are still some companies that are fully remote, and there's a lot of companies that now have some kind of hybrid model that they're using.
Muras says the idea that workers need to be in a physical office to be productive has been largely dispelled. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 76 for a high this afternoon. Tonight down to 42. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 63. Then on Sunday, partly cloudy, 57. Frost or even a freeze by Monday or Tuesday morning. Are you paying too much for health insurance? Call 800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. That's 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Coast and Gulf ports. Hurricane Milton. Signs of restarted inflation. Crazy fast harvest progress. And a drift down in corn prices ahead of today's crop production update from USDA. We've got it all covered for you on this week's Free For All.
Live from the March to March 27, 2025, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday Free For All with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer and Sean Haney. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Googling opening day 2025.
Right. You're on the right
March
track.
March 27, there it
Thursday,
is.
Thursday, baby, Thursday.
Thursday, March 27. We've got to wait until then. You know, it's pitchers and Royals catchers game, report like at the end of January or something like that. We can start paying attention then.
Well, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, March 27.
Sorry, dude.
Kauffman Stadium. We got the Cleveland Guardians on opening day coming up. I felt it was a pretty okay game last night. The Yankees pitcher, what an impressive performance there.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then the Royals put in some guys. I thought, well, let him pitch a while, and then they set him down. I don't know anything.
That's the way that it's gotten, Davis. There's a million examples in playoff baseball over the past 10 years where you look at the pitching moves and just think to yourself, what? Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy was dealing. Let him deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Tossing
one dude was
dimes.
Just showering strikes. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And they make some changes, and then you just kind of go, oh, boy, here we go.
Well, for next year, I'm going to learn more of these gentlemen's names instead of just saying that dude. That's my goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
My contribution.
Okay. So we have got a game five coming up between the Padres and the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
New York Yanks won their series against the Royals.
Boo.
The Guardians and Tigers are tied at two games apiece, right?
Yep. I believe they're all tied up.
I think that's this. I got to root for whoever wins that game. Those are my guys now.
Those are your guys now? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Very good. Welcome, Niagara Talk. Glad that you are joining us here this morning. We got the free-for-all coming your way. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. A ton of things on the list of topics to discuss, including, man, in a month, we will be done with the election. In a month. Well, yeah. The votes will have been cast. Well, I hope that's the case. The votes will have been cast for the election. We might still be waiting for some results, mm-hmm. and official results, but, you know, a month from now, the campaigning at least will be over. So we'll get the latest trends there and what we need to be watching as we go into the election day. And of course, we got to talk about the farm bill and some of the other things happening in and around ag policy. We'll do that today. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, we'll start with the weather. Moderate to major river flooding is forecast throughout much of Florida through this weekend in the wake of Hurricane Milton. Dry, gusty winds ahead of a cold front crossing the Great Lakes will contribute to elevated to critical fire weather today over parts of Michigan. Further west, this front will press across the Central Plains on Saturday with possible critical fire weather.
Yeah, you know, I've seen friends that have had some close calls with fires already this year, or they've been successful in getting fires under control before they get out of hand. So
yikes.
It's happening, you guys. Boy, be ready. Ready.
Well, Chip, private exporters reported the following sales activities. 132,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations during the 24-25 marketing year. And 577,928 metric tons exactly of corn received in the reporting period. Also for delivery to unknown for the 24-25 marketing year. A very specific purchase there, Chip.
Well, that's a nice chunk. And what it means is there's been several sales through the week that totaled that 578,000 metric tons. The demand is happening. Demand is packed for corn. And it has been for a while, but this has got to be some traditional buyers coming in.
Well, not much on this here, but USDA will update production forecasts for corn, soybean, and cotton at 11 a.m. Central Time today, just less than an hour away. Analysts expect slightly smaller crops in general, Chip.
And slightly smaller corn carryover projection for 24-25 in particular. The key there is the expectations are that corn carryover will fall below 2 billion bushels.
Well, Chip, at least seven Florida ports, including St. Petersburg and Jacksonville, remain closed due to Hurricane Milton. Port Tampa Bay, a key hub for fertilizer exports, has reopened with restrictions, this despite power outages. Citrus growers reported significant losses, with early crops heavily affected and ongoing fruit drops expected in the coming weeks. More than 2.5 million customers were still without power early today, but that is down from 3.2 million on Thursday afternoon, Chip. President Joe Biden called on Congress to reconvene and pass emergency relief after Hurricane Milton caused extensive damage along the coast. He warned that rebuilding efforts will require several billion dollars and suggested Congress may need to replenish FEMA's disaster relief funds in the coming months.
Yeah, and Mosaic is doing an assessment of damage to the potash mines, right?
Potash mines, yep.
Yeah, potash mines down there right now.
Oh, down in the area. That would be probably phosphate rock mines, actually.
Phosphate. Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
In other news, Pure Prairie Poultry, headquartered in Charles City, Iowa, has closed the processing plant in Charles City and has abandoned production contracts with growers in Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Officials in Minnesota and Iowa have reportedly stepped in to either feed, process, or cull the Pure Prairie birds. But growers in Wisconsin say they have not yet received feed for 9 days. And state officials have offered no relief. Brian Winnikins from WRDN in Durand, Wisconsin, talked with Moldovi Pure Prairie grower Terry Filla.
Only give these birds feed 9 days. They told us last week one day that we're coming Monday and Tuesday to get the birds out, and you'll have feed on Wednesday morning. Well, I'm still waiting for my feed, and they still didn't take the birds out.
Phyllis says they're trying to give away the birds, but biosecurity concerns make that difficult, and he fears most of these birds will unfortunately be culled, Chip.
Yeah, not a good situation there at all. But Iowa and Minnesota seem to be working with the producers and taking care of those birds. But up in Wisconsin, it's a problem.
Yep. And shout out to Brian Winnikins from WRDN in Duran, Wisconsin. In other news, with the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act provisions set to expire after 2025, long-term capital gains tax rates are a key focus in upcoming political debates. Yep. Kamala Harris has proposed raising the top capital gains rate. Mr. Trump reportedly aims to make the 2017 tax cuts permanent and possibly lower the top capital gains rate. And quickly here, Mexico's economy minister expressed support for the United States in possible trade conflicts with China as both nations vie for influence in Latin America through large-scale investment programs. Chip?
Yeah. All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. That gives us a good foundation to work from on this week's Free for All. We'll have to talk about what's going on in Russia and Ukraine as well, because Russia has fired even more missiles over the Odessa region in Ukraine. What exactly are they doing there? Well, what they're trying to do is discourage grain shipments out of Ukraine. What might that mean for the markets going forward? That can be a topic for us in the Free for All. Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, Davis, and me up next here on AgriTalk.
Whatever crop you grow, we can help you protect it. Bootstrapped and ready to serve, Atticus delivers battle-tested chemistries, AIs that you've come to trust and rely on, from a manufacturer that strives to operate in a way that makes us accessible, responsive, and reliable. Our relevant portfolio is ready to protect your battlefields and livelihood. No matter the pest, weather, or politics, Atticus and your American farmer tenacity is battle ready. Meet your ally, AticusLLC.com.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter?
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, scientifically better animal nutrition. Learn more at unitedanh.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. It's time for the free-for-all this week, and so far the free-for-all panelists have been sharing pictures of the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis, out big time last night. Let's bring in Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. How you doing?
Pretty good. Waiting continued for these playoffs. They've been yeah. fun.
Yeah, they certainly have. You know, the first thing that triggered in my mind yesterday that it was going to be a good night for the Northern Lights last night was when I saw some guys on social media saying, "Hey, what's up with the GPS today? Why is it off?" Yeah. You know, the magnetic forces or something are real. No doubt. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. How you doing, Sean?
Chip, I'm doing fantastic. It is great to be here, and the Northern Lights have been pretty spectacular as of late. It's been pretty impressive coloring.
Yeah, no doubt. So last weekend, did you have Vandy beating Bama on your bingo card?
No, but congratulations, Vanderbilt. You know, there's nothing better than a great goalpost taken down and students carrying a goal, just the end zone, the uprights into some sort of a river. And
yeah,
the best part was is they dumped them in the Cumberland River, walked 3 miles, and then now they're selling off parts of those uprights to raise money for the fine and go back to the university. It's a net positive.
Hey, well, we hope so. Oh, my goodness, college. They carried those things like 3 miles to get them to Broadway in Nashville. That's a commitment.
How do you navigate that?
Hats off to the guys. Oh, my goodness. All right, Jim, let's get started here. Here we are. No, you know what? I'm going to start with this. Davis had the interview on AgriTalk this week that I'm going to feature on U.S. Farm Report this weekend. That was with Josh Linville, fertilizer analyst at the Stone X Group. Davis, bottom line it for us.
Bottom line, actually, we were talking a little bit about the Hurricane Milton. It missed the phosphate production capacity, the storage, all of that sort of stuff. However, just fundamentally, supplies remain tight on N, P, and K. Seeing a little bit of bottoming action in the retail markets here, I think we're headed higher.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my takeaway from that conversation.
Okay. And, you know, the port activity that's been disrupted, the supply, I mean, Jim, it couldn't come at a worse time on this disruption, if there is even any disruption at all in fertilizer supplies at this time of year is a problem.
True. And what we've seen also with Helene, the longer you go to assess the impacts, the worse they get. So these initial impacts out of Florida, although they dodged a big bullet, I think we need to wait to assess, because those winds and water can do a lot of damage.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
And it could have been worse. Like we kind of avoided the very worst case of scenarios, although this wasn't a great one. It actually could have been worse if you can imagine. But I've been referring to input prices as sticky. They're more than sticky. I had talked to Josh Linville yesterday myself, and it feels like there's a little bit of lift here in, you know, with some very just-in-time supplies. Processing, manufacturing facilities are going. The ones that are online are going at a pretty good clip. But you're going to have to plug your nose when you buy fertilizer. 25.
Yep. You guys, and I'm hearing from more and more producers that are saying, "Listen, go ahead and disrupt the flow of P and K this fall, because I'm not putting in any on anyway. I can't afford to do it." Now, obviously, if the ground needs it, you do your soil test and make sure that you can get away without P and K for a year. But if you've been putting on some extra, and Davis and I have talked about this for the better part of a decade, if you at any time have put on quote unquote extra because the price was good and you had good cash flow, the only way that you can monetize that is by either skimping or skipping a year to pull that out. So this might be the year, Jim, with net farm income doing what it's doing.
Or be very judicious on the acres that you do use the products.
Yeah, yeah, but, absolutely. How about those comments from Southern Ag today that were in there with Joe Outlaw and Bart Fisher? I thought they were very important because they are differentiating on the impact of the decline in net farm income, row crop producers, small grain producers versus livestock producers. Big difference this year.
That was Pro Farmer's take immediately when the farm income estimates came out. That I know the University of Illinois said, well, we're not that far down from, you know, farm income, but boy, they missed that one because of the major difference between the crop sector and the livestock sector. And that's playing into policy too, because let me tell you, by all the emails I get, there's a lot of hurt in crop sector country.
The crop sector's hurt has been the commodity prices coming down from where we were, and that translates right to cost of gains going down on the livestock side. That is, you know, and you want a situation. Who knows what the equilibrium needs to be? Some smart person than me can figure that out. But you'd like to see both sides of the equation succeed and do well, but sometimes we do get this imbalance at times. We've seen strength too in the livestock market at the same time,
which is increasing the odds, Chip, that when they come back after the elections, you will see an ag disaster and financial transition program. You can up the odds pretty high on that.
That's where I wanted to get to on this. I mean, so Outlaw and Fisher are pointing out that net cash farm income for wheat producers projected to fall 50%.
Yes.
When you get those kinds of numbers, lawmakers, their eyebrows go up, their ears perk. They say, hey, listen, this is something that we need to step in and do something about and take some of the pressure off. And
yes,
I believe it. I believe you, Jim. I think it's going to come in some kind of a disaster aid relief.
And it could be part of the package that even Colin Peterson, former House Ag Committee chairman now, is upping the odds for a farm bill conclusion yet this year, Chip, because there will likely be a package because you need a transition to get to higher reference prices that won't really pay out until October 2026. But I think this aid package, both disaster and financial assistance, will be coupled with the farm bill to get even more votes, Chip.
Okay.
I think you look at that those debt to equity ratios, right? And so if we, you know, farms that are really tight on the debt, you know, they don't have any free equity in their land, and we start to see a bit of a decrease in land prices, you got your cash flow issues on the operation side, plus you're facing some realities in your balance sheet that don't allow you to new mortgage to get you through to the other side of this downturn. That's where things get really ugly.
Yeah. And coupled with, again, all the emails I get, when you have lower prices, plus you've had weather-related crop problems, Nebraska, other parts of the country, it's really a Debbie Downer.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is. And the odds of passing, or the idea of passing, a farm bill before the end of the year was part of the conversation at the White House this week, Jim. Vilsack seems optimistic.
Yeah, I think he's picked up on it as well. I think even Stabenow, I think, will have a different mindset after the election. And it's going to be not easy, but easier to find some additional funding. I don't know whether they'll get all the funding needed in the House Ag Committee approach on reference prices, but I think it'll go a long way. And she'll get a lot of what she wants for the food and nutrition and conservation programs. That's called spend a lot more money and get both sides some wins. And that's why you'll have a farm bill. And it'll be interesting to see all how the naysayers of the farm bill all throughout the last year are going to react to this situation, Chip.
Well, you know, I've not completely ruled out the potential for a farm bill before the end of the year. And you've got me convinced now that we will see a really, really good effort, if not a farm bill before the end of the year. And the risk is just too high.
Yes.
The idea of having to start over, basically from square one with a new Congress on this, I don't think anybody that's in Congress right now wants to see that happen. At least I hope they don't. Okay. All right, we're going to continue the conversation here on the Free for All. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, and me here on AgriTalk.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
At Mosaic, we know that good things come in small packages. That's why we pack micro essentials with the good stuff required to feed your fields and improve your yields, like uniform nutrient distribution, season-long sulfur availability, increased nutrient uptake, and ease of use. Because who doesn't want greater ROI and increased yields? The Mighty Micro from Mosaic Micro Essentials. We put more in so you can get more out. Visit microessentials.com to learn more about getting more.
Farmers, it's harvest time and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, December milk down 23 to 2067, January down 20 to 2028, February down 23 to 1972, March down 14 at 1945. Meanwhile, live cattle markets and feeder cattle markets mixed to slightly lower after the WASD report did have beef production raised on higher cattle processing and heavier dressed weights. Hog markets, meanwhile, mostly higher as pork production was lowered on a slower pace of processing and lower dressed weights. October live cattle down 22 cents to 188.95. October feeder cattle down 42 cents to 249.85. December hogs up 65 cents to 77.60. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly lower after the WASDE report came out. Now, while soybean production was lowered on lower yields, corn markets or corn production was raised on potentially higher yields. And meanwhile, the wheat outlook is still for reduced supplies, but also reduced consumption. So that is also providing some pressure. December corn down 2¾ to 415¾. November beans down 4¾ to 1010. December wheat in Chicago down 10 to 593¾. Minneapolis wheat, December down 10¼ to 640. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnikins.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the Free For All. Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, Davis Michelson, and me, Chip Flory. Okay, Jim, here we are, heading into the last month, or we're in the last month ahead of the elections. What are the trends that you are seeing on the race for the White House between Vice President Harris and former President Trump?
I think on the White House race, you look at one state only, Pennsylvania, and it looks like Trump is coming on there, although most of the recent polls, Chip, in the seven major states, the battleground states, are within the margin of error. So yeah. That tells you it could go either way in the White House. It is that close. In the Senate, pretty good odds that the Republicans are going to regain control of that chamber. The House, like the White House, is very close, where upper hand still is given, at least my sources, is given to the Republicans. But I think whoever wins the White House will win the House.
It is okay. It is close.
Yeah.
Razor thin. Oh. Trump needs rural people in Pennsylvania to come through for him. There's no way that we find out that night. The question is, how many days does it take? And you see former President Obama is out, you know, campaigning hard. He's going after black male men hard. So you can see some of the micro targeting that is happening here, right? They slice and dice this in terms of where can they pull votes from and who do they need to get to those polls.
The Democrats are worried that Kamala is losing more from the male vote sector relative to what Biden had, as opposed to Trump's anemic votes on the female side.
Yeah. And the other part is, you know, the Trump camp, you know, being in Detroit and then like hacking at Detroit, Trump going even very Trumpy this week in terms of a little bit reckless in some of his comments, but he's also, maybe there's some tact to that in the sense that he is trying to lure people to the, you know, to vote that are a part of that base that necessarily aren't probable voters as well, and get them motivated to show up.
Yeah, he's after Michigan big time. I mean, he has proposed or thrown out the idea of being able to write off interest payments on car loans.
Yes.
To revive that industry. Holy smokes. I never thought I would have seen that. A proposal like that. I mean, it would. I think it would stimulate that industry. How would it not?
Yeah, it would also stimulate even higher prices for cars. But Congress will have to go along. You know, that's why both of these presidential candidates are throwing out ideas left and right on taxes. But the follow-up question is, can you get it through Congress?
Right. And, okay, so when Trump is challenged by that, I see the, well, we're going to have to, you know, negotiate. We're going to have conversations about it and try and get this stuff done. When Harris is challenged on it, she looks at you like, well, I don't understand. This is what we have to do. What? It's not what anybody has to do. You got to get Congress to come along for the ride on this. And It blows me away. And speaking of that, the 60 Minutes interview, this bothers me because it looks very much like they did some serious editing on the responses that Harris had. I don't like that. I don't like it one bit. The optics on that, Jim, my opinion, are terrible.
On the Wizard of Oz, Kurt, we've seen it. Let's release the unedited version of the live interview. This is why these interviews should be held live, so you don't have any of this editing skullduggery. And it's a shame on CBS, a shame.
Right. And you know what? I never thought I would have to say this, but okay, one camera, both in view the whole time. None of this cutting back and forth from the from the interviewer to the interviewee, because that's when the edits happen. So one camera rolling 100% of the time.
And they do the voiceover for her on another question. It's just odd. That's very there should be. Well, there the ex CBS staffers want an investigation.
Yeah.
Because of their history of what that firm was on right. more of the right track. It's just not a good sign. And you saw when the initial debate, how they handled the checking on Vance and not Kamala Harris and not Walz.
So 100% agree, guys. But let's also make sure that Fox is doing the same thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
I 100%. What I have struggled with here is the lack, like how both sides, the candidates now basically do interviews or, with their side. Whether it's in the base podcasters, or I would even put Harris in the Stern interview this week. And I'm a lifelong Howard fan, but that was not exactly one of Howard's hard hitting.
Not this Howard.
Not this Howard. So like I think it's a real disservice to people. It's a conversation. It's a promotion. It's a piece of content marketing. Yep. And both sides are doing it, and we should expect better. We should expect answers, and we're not getting them.
Nope. That's exactly right. Jim, the comment that you sent in the Walz is, talk to me about his ideas. I don't know. I mean, he's putting words behind it to get rid of the Electoral College.
Yeah, he says make every vote count. But by saying you should get rid of the Electoral College, tell that to the farm states. Tell that to Montana. Tell that to Wyoming. You think they'd ever go to those states on a presidential contest? He made a big mistake there in farm country, and Trump ought to pounce on that one.
Yep. Well, and it just shows a complete lack of understanding of the balance of powers that were brilliantly put into place when the republic was formed. Balance, the Electoral College is a balance of the House of Representatives. Those two things are designed to balance each other out. As far as I can tell, they're doing a fantastic job so far.
I will 100% tell you guys, I do like that. It is amazing. Like I think a lot of countries look at the Electoral College with jealousy.
Oh, yeah.
Because it does even out the landscape, urban, rural, like it, you know,
exactly.
It makes such a difference. Like
it's a basis play for elections. It's a basis.
Yeah.
BASIS. Yeah.
It is absolutely necessary to keep the balance in place. And
Chip, you mentioned this White House confab, which I think was mostly disgustingly political. When are the parties going to say it's not an administration, whether you're Republican or Democrat, that's giving this money, grants, whatever, loans out? It's taxpayers. Taxpayers are doing that. Not any administration. It's called revenue. And this is why I think Trump's on the right track by saying he wants to cut taxes, allowing citizens to spend more money the way they want to, rather than almost $7 million in grants from the meat and poultry processing expansion program to Pure Prairie Poultry, who goes bankrupt just within 2 years after getting the grant.
Okay. $46 million, now they're gone and can't feed their birds.
On that thread, do you figure it, how you cut taxes or you enhance the tax framework on agriculture instead of doing an ad hoc program like we talked about in the prior segment?
Well, it's always strategic industries that you have to protect. It's called food security. That's how I answer that one.
Well,
it's worth that risk. It's worth that.
On the Electoral College, if you didn't have the Electoral College, the Iowa primary is nowhere near the significance that it currently is.
Caucus.
And quite frankly, biofuels, ethanol policy does not get the political power and the run that it has had if there's no electoral college.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that right there. And it is absolutely a necessity to maintain order. And you know, now, okay, so I've said that. I said that and I mean it. But at the same time, you know, sometimes order is overrated, right, Jim? Sometimes you want a little chaos, and let's get it. We're not going to see a whole lot of change or a whole lot of new laws, rules, regulations passed under what you described here just a little bit ago on what the makeup of D.C. is going to look like between the Senate, the House, and the White House.
Here's another one. In the ag letter I wrote this week, Chip, or last week, $42.5 billion on broadband expansion initiative, okay?
Yeah.
And hardly any dollars are actually being utilized yet. It's been given out. And the only success I see is in North Dakota, who did their successful program years ago themselves.
You know, and I've seen plenty of pictures of farmers hanging out in the shadow of a cell tower waiting to download documents and stuff. It's free-for-all next.
Retirement.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Sometimes people change, and not always for the better. Take Senator Tammy Baldwin. What happened? She's been in D.C. for 25 years. Extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. If you're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
My whole identity had been wrapped up in being a soldier. To have that so violently ripped from me when I was wounded, I was lost for a very long time. When Wounded Warrior Project came into my life, being around the other warriors, people that had similar experiences that I did, it was a game changer for me. having King join the group, that was the beginning of a really good friendship.
It's a good time.
I first heard about Wounded Warrior Project through CQ. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I qualify. But having been a part of it kind of taught me that it's not just the wounds that you can see, but it's those that you can't.
When you do something like a peer support group, like Wounded Warrior Project, and come together from different walks of life, man, the growth is incredible. If not for Wounded Warrior Project, I really don't think that I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive. Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Atticus, providing battle-tested chemistries you know and trust.
All right, we're hustling into the end of the show. The free-for-all, Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, Davis Michelson, and me, Chip Flory. Okay, most of the conversations on AgriTalk, I think, are interesting. But, man, one of the best ones that we had this week was with Mike Steenhoek. Mike is a regular on the show. He's on quite often. He's the executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. We were talking about some of the lessons that we may have learned from a three-day dock workers strike, longshoremen strike. And it came just as the Container Port Performance Index for 2023 was released. Jim, it should rattle us all, anybody involved in agriculture, it should rattle us all to learn that the highest ranked American port is in Charleston, South Carolina, and it comes in at number 53 in the world for efficiency. Dude, what are we doing?
Yeah. And that's been consistently year in and year out. China's port, by the way, ranks number one globally, one of their ports.
One of the most automated ports in the world.
Yeah, they continue to invest in ports throughout Latin America, et cetera. Yeah, this is going to have to change. And this is why in January you think that the ILA is going to give on this issue, so we could be right back into the soup, because they know that they got to stop this thing in order to get to any further gains on for their side.
Right. Well, right. So this is the big reason that a week ago I wanted to talk about this with the port strike and everything, because it just, what scares me is that when you hear the union say absolutely no automation, no semi-automation, no nothing in this contract, we're locking into inefficiencies if that's the case, guys. That's the bottom line.
Well, I shared a video with you when you both used via text of a port operator in China, and looked like they were playing a video game, like Port Operations 25 by EA Sports or something. They had screens everywhere, and that. You know, there was AI in there. Like we've got to stay up to date, and this is kind of the challenge, is trying to balance, trying to make sure that we have jobs because jobs are important. It's the economic underbelly of, like, you know, people got to be able to pay for stuff. But at the same time, in a global landscape, still be competitive. And it's not like an easy, okay, here's exactly the solution. It's trying to find an equilibrium, and that is really difficult in this, especially when we're dealing with port operations.
It'll probably end up, Chip, eventually, West Coast dock workers, they faced similar issues in the 60s, and they negotiated protections against job losses due to automation. Yep. So I think that's eventually where it'll go on the East Coast and Gulf.
Yeah.
That, okay, if you get this, we don't lose jobs. So they may be able to sit a little bit, but they'll be guaranteed a salary.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, I mean, if this was unique to dock workers, we'd all be saying, oh, my gosh, they're going to be out of job. But it's not. It's not unique to the ports. It's not unique to agriculture. It's not unique to any industry that is being touched by automation, car makers, oil drilling. It's all been touched by technology, automation, and artificial intelligence is only going to it's going to be more challenging to the workers out there to find a place in this economy. And so find it. That's the bottom line, guys. You got to find it. Okay. Let's move on. The inflation numbers out this week, Jim, maybe not cooling off quite as much as what the Fed thought when they cut interest rates by a half point.
Yeah, I think it either in November, the 7th, November 6th, 7th FOMC meeting, you'll either have no change, Chip, or only a 25 basis point cut. And I think there's your choice right there. And they may be very cautious and have no cut.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, okay, Haney, you mentioned the AEM numbers. I glanced at them. What did you see?
They're ugly. They are. Like, and no surprise here, this is an indicator of what's going on. We've been talking about farm profitability. So we got, like, year-to-date farm four-wheel drive tractors. That's the sweet spot. They're up 1.7. Combines are down year-to-date 21.5%. Two-wheel drive tractors down 13.6% year-to-date. The month-to-month numbers are worse, but I like to look at the year-to-date numbers when we get three-quarters way through the year like we are. And we're definitely we see why the layoffs have been happening at some of the manufacturing facilities and readjusting the employee strategy and moving jobs to Mexico like we've been talking about, you know, the Trump John versus John Deere situation. But you can see why that's happening, because the sales are down.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we look at total. I'm going to jump over to total trade here real quick, Jim, because we're looking at setting records on ag trade deficit in 2024. Even with pork exports getting back up to record levels, we talked about that with the U.S. Meat Export Federation yesterday, Joe Sheely, but we're still looking at the likelihood of a record ag trade deficit.
Yeah, we just did. There's a combination of reasons for that. But once you pick up the gross domestic product in importing countries, I think that'll help out U.S. ag.
All right. All right. Very good. All right, Haney, what's on your must-watch list this weekend? What do you got?
Oh, well, Ohio State versus Oregon. And tonight, ASU Sun Devils versus Utah, Chip.
Yeah. That ISU-West Virginia game in Morgantown is going to be a good one.
Maybe the best schedule ever for a weekend. Ever.
Yeah, this is going to be really something. Jim, have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you again.
Okay.
All right, Haney, you too. We'll talk to you again. And Davis, we'll talk to you this afternoon. All right, buddy?
I can't wait.
Yeah, we've got a conversation with Joe Vaclavic. Right here, Varsity Joe's Standard Grain. He'll have reaction to the USDA reports this afternoon here on AgriTalk.
You say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there,
know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council. NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
It's time to review the top three highlights of the day. I'm joined, as always, by my co-anchor, Snoop.
Hey, what up, though?
Snoop, number one has to be getting the new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence at T-Mobile.
Yeah, you should hustle down to T-Mobile like a dog chasing a squirrel chasing a nut.
Nice analogy, Snoop. Dogs do love to chase squirrels.
And squirrels love to chase those nuts.
On to highlight number two, at T-Mobile, families can save 20% every month versus the other big.